This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon will follow the program. We invite you back to this station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
When Jesus looked at the crowd, he described them as sheep without a shepherd. Might he be describing us that way today? We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we may come into your divine presence this morning, and we may get our description of ourselves from you. Grant, O God, that we may not be sheep without a shepherd. May we thank God for all of our leaders, if they are truly shepherds. But above all, we thank you that you, the Lord Jesus, are the great shepherd, and all others bow before you. You are the one who give us peace and strength, security and promise. Speak to us through your word this day. We ask it in your holy name. Amen. Friends in Christ, when a person is being trained to be a pastor, he usually takes a course in homiletics. Homiletics is the discipline of preparing the sermon. And I can well remember those days when a professor would hand us a text and tell us to prepare a sermon on it. The first thing that we had to do was to find out what the key thought of the text was. And that was the emphasis of that particular message to the congregation. The point behind it was that the mind can hardly comprehend more than one good thought. And so if you give them an abundance of thoughts, they go away without too much. So I would once in a while say to the people when they had thanked me for a particular message, what was the prevailing thought? And sometimes they could tell me, and that made me happy. And other times they couldn't remember. And either I had not had the prevailing thought focused in their mind, or they had just wandered off onto something else. But today, preaching to a radio audience is a bit different. But I'd like to read the text for you and then ask you to listen very, very carefully to different thoughts that appear in that text. And then at the end of our sermon today, we will see which thought was the most basic. Let me read to you the text. And for those who are following in their Bible, it is recorded in the 6th chapter of Mark, beginning with verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him, and "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countrysides and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But Jesus answered, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wage. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. Some they sat down in the groups of 100s and 50s. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets of fruit, of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number who ate that day were 5,000 men, and there were also women and children. Now this is the text. And in this text, there are abundance of thoughts. I'd like to have you try to find 3 important thoughts, and then of the 3, which is a prevailing thought, the thought that you would take with you from this message for another week. The apostles had been away on a mission, and they had preached the gospel. They had healed the sick, cast out demons, comforted many, and now they had a report that they wanted to give to their master. But as they sat with him, the crowd got in between Jesus and the disciples, and it was no place to have a good visit together. So Jesus said to them, "I tell you what we'll do. We'll go on the other side, that is, the other side of the lake, and there we will come to a very quiet place." They got into the boat, and they sailed across the lake. It was estimated that that would be a journey of about 4 hours. But they could have walked around the seashore, the land, and they could have gotten there in about 10 hours. However, how this all worked out, I do not know. But when Jesus and his disciples got out of the boat, having crossed that part of the Sea of Galilee, there they saw some of these people who had been with them in Capernaum. They had followed them. This irritated the disciples to no end. They have no right to do this. We have the right to be with our master and to share with him what is on our hearts. Well, while they were irritated, disgusted, Jesus had compassion on them. Jesus had compassion on the crowd. Now, there is at least one of the basic thoughts. It is necessary for us to have time alone with Jesus. Keep that in the back of your mind. So Jesus began to teach them. And we know not particularly what he said, but I can believe that he began to tell them who he was. I am the Son of God, and I am the Savior of the world. He began to teach them that he had been sent into this world to suffer and to die, and in a short time he would be delivered up and would die on the cross. And that cross would be the sufficient price paid for the sins of all mankind. This he wanted before them. I will take your sins vicariously upon myself, pay the price for them, and if you will receive me and trust me as your Savior, your sins will be forgiven. Now on the third day, he could have said to them, I will rise from the grave. And now I will be your victorious Lord over sin, death, and over the devil. That's why I've come. And they began to listen. And they thought, wow, could this possibly be the promised Messiah? And when they were really into it, and the disciples came and said, it's getting late, Lord. You better send these people away that they can get something to eat for themselves and get home and have some rest. But Jesus turns to the disciples and said, well, why don't we just feed them here? And they replied, well, we don't have the food. Well, go buy some. Well, that would take 8 months of a man's wage to feed this crowd. Do you want us to buy that much food? And then Jesus turns and says to them, how much food do you actually have? And they checked, and there were 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And the Savior said, give them to me. And he lifted them up and blessed them and broke them and gave them to the disciples and said, go ahead and feed these people. And 5,000 men plus women and children were fed from that 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they had 12 baskets left over for somebody else. Is that the primary thought? It could bring a good sermon to us, but is it the primary thought? We could be admonished to feed the poor. We could be taught that Jesus was the divine Son of God and the Savior of the world. But again, number one, the thought was, we must be alone with Jesus. The second one was that we can sit at his feet, and he'll listen to us, and he'll care for us, and he'll even feed us, and miraculously, we have the story of the 5,000. Is that the primary emphasis in this text? Well, then let's go a little bit further. It says, you know, that when Jesus landed and he saw the people, he had compassion on them. And this is a way he described them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. His heart must have gone out for them. These people need somebody to help them, to guide them along life's way, to give them encouragement when they're depressed, and to give them a loving rebuke when they are wrong. But there were no such leaders. The political leaders were not doing that. Bishop Tom Wright of Durham describes Herod. He said Herod wasn't concerned about his people. He was with his old cronies, carousing in the temple, winking at pretty girls, and when necessary, beheading prophets like John the Baptist. That kind of a man, like Herod was known to bring comfort and peace to the people of the day. He was not adequate. He was not that kind of a leader. That wasn't a leader that they were really looking for. Could it be this Messiah, the Son of God and the Savior of the world, as he had said, now stands before us, and he's one who comes and is anxious to give us rather than to just pull out from us. Could this be the Christ? Could this be the man who would change that description that we were sheep without a shepherd? Could we now be taught that we are a fold of the shepherd, and we know where we're going, and we know the right way, and we know that we have a Savior, and we know that we are secure? They began to look at Jesus. That's a third thought. We need a shepherd. Do you now know what the prevailing thought is in this text? They're all good. Let me not minimize any of them. But the prevailing thought in this text is this: human beings need a spiritual shepherd. And without a spiritual shepherd, they walk around not knowing what it's all about. They have no one to comfort them. They have no one to direct them. They have no one to rebuke them in love. None of these things. And that represents then many, many a population, probably all populations, because the spiritual shepherds have not been there as they should have been. For our Lord is the shepherd. He is the one who comes and ministers to us, gives us purpose in life, and gives us assurance of eternity. That's the kind of a shepherd. He has appointed under-shepherds. And these under-shepherds are those who are theologically trained, who have been to schools and have learned and have stood in our seminaries and are standing there today and leading us in our churches as pastors. They are the under-shepherds. That's what a pastor is. He is an under-shepherd. We need those people in our congregation, strong men and women ordained into the holy ministry to tell the story of God's holy word, both law and gospel, and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and it matters not what anyone else has to say. That's what we need, or our country soon becomes sheep without a spiritual shepherd. But it's not just the clergy, it is also the laity. For those whose hearts have been grabbed by the message of the shepherd and have found peace themselves go on out and on a one-to-one basis with the same authority, talk to other people, evangelize other people, and point them to Jesus Christ as the one they must have in their lives if they truly, truly want peace, joy, security, and rebuke. That's the story. So often we see these pathetic situations. I remember when I was a kid, we had this depression, just barely beginning to come out of it. And I saw people there. I saw people losing their homes. They had good equity in them. But there were no dollars for the payments at the present time, so they lost them. I saw people who had no food, and they could go to the common place in the community and get food to take home, to eat with. I saw people who wanted the luxury of a newspaper. And I was one of their newsboys. And I would take the paper to them every day of the week except Sunday. It would cost them 3 cents. So if they were going to have it for a month, that meant 72 cents. I knew that if I were to get my pay for that paper, I had to be there on the day that that check came. $26, as I recall, every 2 weeks. That was what they got. I had a couple of my buddies who had to leave their fathers and mothers for a while, and they went to CC camps. Not for any particular discipline, but in order to keep food in their stomach and clothes on their back. It was a tough time. And I don't know what his politics really were. It didn't matter to me at that time. But I saw President Roosevelt with his New Deal as a man who was a temporal shepherd of his people. And I thank God for that part of his administration, at least. But it wasn't enough. There were those people who had, besides Roosevelt as their leader, they had above all the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you would go into their homes and you could see they were wanting there too, they always said, "Jesus will see us through." They helped one another. That's the under-shepherd working under the primary shepherd, the Lord Jesus, who ministers to the soul of a person and told us that everything was all right. We saw this in World War II. We saw a blessed nation like Germany, who had so many God-fearing people, who had so much talent there, but who had been led astray by a vicious ruler whose name was Adolf Hitler and the gang around him. They thought they were going to run it. They slaughtered people. And the other people wondered when their turn was next. They were like sheep without a shepherd, in some cases, except those who knew the Savior. One who could be described in the person of that great leader of the day, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who could stand up to Hitler and could say to him, "No." One like Martin Niemöller, who one day in a strange situation said to Hitler, "The destiny of the German people is in the hands of Almighty God." You see, Niemöller, Bonhoeffer, and the hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of people in that blessed land who didn't want Nazism or anything like it, they had a spiritual leader. We must have a spiritual leader. That's the prevailing thought, friend, and that leader is Jesus, who has under-shepherds. Are you under his leadership? Are you one of his under-shepherds, telling the good story of the Savior? Amen.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou Jesus.
Father in heaven, we thank you that you have not left us without a shepherd, but you have sent your Son, Jesus, to be the great shepherd. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our comforter, our director, our leader along the way. Thank you for appointing under-shepherds to tell the story of Christ wherever they walk. Bless us to that end, we ask it in your name. Amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry. We hope that today's gospel message has been a blessing in your life and will be a strong foundation in the week ahead. If you would like to continue your support of Christian Crusaders well into the future, please consider including this ministry in your estate planning. By offering an estate gift to Christian Crusaders, you can leave a legacy that is built on bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to thousands of listeners for many years to come. For more information on estate planning, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FACE. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your gifts to P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Christian Crusaders has a 5-volume set of DVD video sermons that is available by calling toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You can also order the set online at christiancrusaders.org. Each volume in this set of dynamic and uplifting sermons is available for a suggested donation of $10 or $50 for the set. Also available on DVD are Reverend Larson's sermons on the resurrection, originally broadcast on radio during this past Easter season. For a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FACE or 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting continuously for the past 73 years.